This is the last of a little series of talks about moving from mental to mystical, about moving from an understanding of our divinity to living it. The first talk was called, Can You Find God in Church? It was really about where and how you feel the presence of the divine or feel one with all that is. And then last week we talked about prayer, in particular how to pray for other people. Because we say we are a praying church and we have a team of people praying for you, but anyone can pray for anyone else. You don't have to know details of the situation or even a name. But the best description I've ever heard of moving from mental to mystical is to me, by me, through me, as me. You've heard me mention it before, but I wanted to go through it in some depth today. I first heard this years ago from Michael Beckwith. I don't know if it's original with him. He described four stages of consciousness that we grow through. I believe these are also states of consciousness and we bounce around within them. So let's talk about what each one is and you can see if you recognize yourself. To me is where most people live. Life is happening to us. You have no say in the hand that life dealt to you. You have no say in it, no power over it. The best you can do is choose your reaction. This is sometimes victim consciousness. Something happened to me. They did something to me. This is also where they live. Well, they say bacon causes cancer. You know, well, they say don't wear white after Labor Day. They in society have certain expectations, or they in government are doing something stupid, or they think a certain way, or they are judging us. It's mass consciousness. To me is kind of logical. Life does appear to happen to us. It appears that stuff just happens and life isn't fair. And we all feel this way sometimes. Being in the to me state of mind doesn't make you a spiritual failure or a bad person. It's likely to make you an unhappy person. Although, to me is also where we are blessed when God smiles with favor upon us for no reason. To me is a football player pointing to heaven after a touchdown. You know, he's saying he had divine help and favor. It's people saying after a tornado that God spared them. A lot of us tend to credit the divine if things turn out well, or at least not as bad as they could have been. So a lot of real gratitude lives in the to me stage. So to me is we think things are done to us by others. Sometimes God does them to us. We may or may not like what's done to us, but in to me, we have no power over it. And this is important, we have no responsibility for it. You will even hear this put in spiritual terms. Well, it is what it is, which is a lofty version of that bumper sticker that used to say, stuff happens. Well, it is what it is. No, it is what you make it. It is what you hold in mind. It is a reflection of your consciousness. And that is by me. By me is the first glimmer of the divine within that most people get. It's a doorway to our Christhood. So someone hears about the law of attraction, or they take a prosperity class, or they even watch Oprah, and grab hold of the idea that our thoughts have creative power, that we are creating or attracting what happens in our lives according to what we believe and expect, consciously or not. This is where Myrtle Fillmore started. She and her husband Charles founded Unity in the 1880s. She had been sickly all her life, like her father, she thought. But one night she grabbed hold of the idea from a lecture. I am a child of God, and therefore I do not inherit sickness. In other words, life was not happening to her. Bad health was not happening to her. She changed her life by changing her thinking. She had not been expected to live past 40, but she cured her body by healing her mind of the mass consciousness belief that there's nothing we can do about what happens to us. She lived to be 86, practicing spiritual principle, using the universal law that what we think shows up in our lives. This is by me. And it's an exciting place to be at first when we realize we do have some power over what happens. Then we realize we also have responsibility for what happens, even when it doesn't go well. And this is where metaphysical malpractice shows up. Well, how did you create that? Even if no one says it out loud, we can beat ourselves up over what we've created. But remember, by me is an early stage. This is Harry Potter in the first year or two after he learned he was a wizard. He was amazed to find he had powers he had not dreamed of. This is our glimpse of the divine, of our own divinity. And Harry Potter started learning how to use those powers. In the early days, there were a lot of exploding wands and spells that fired backwards and turning toads into monsters by accident. And we learn to create our lives in pretty much the same way. So I have no problem with the question, how did I create that? As a review of what I was holding in consciousness, what was I holding in consciousness that showed up the way it did? Not to beat myself up about it, but to learn from it. Myrtle Fillmore had to forgive herself for all the terrible things she had thought about her body. She blamed it for all her problems. She thought it was ruining her life. And she could finally see how those thoughts kept her in the cycle of illness. She spent 2 years meditating every day to shift her thinking once she learned that her life was created by her. So as exciting as the by me stage can be, there are two things to watch out for. One is beating ourselves up for not creating a perfect life. And you know this radio series I did recently about the Book of Revelation with Ed Townley? We talked a lot about how hard is life supposed to be. He says all those beasts and dragons in Revelation are symbols of what we encounter in life, and that overcoming them is necessary to our spiritual growth. So creating an easy, perfect life isn't even the goal. At our highest consciousness, we'll create what we need for our soul's growth. So one danger is that we'll beat ourselves up for our creations. The other is that by me is an ego trap. It is easy to love thinking we are God in human form. We are God. But if that thought is titillating or kind of makes you walk with a strut, that ego has gotten hold of it. And the flip side is, if you feel unworthy of being divine, oh, I couldn't possibly, that's ego too. Ego loves to make us better than or worse than everyone else, because either way, we're special. So we'll talk in a minute about what being God really feels like. The by me stage can last a long time. Some spiritual teachers focus on just this, the foundational law that we create our reality. And a lot of us spend time every day in by me as a review for what is showing up in our lives and how it might reflect our thinking. So by me is an important part of practicing principle. But on our good days, better days, we remember that we are not alone in this. We not only are creating our experience, we are co-creating with God. There is something larger and more powerful than our brains at work in our lives. Thank goodness. So we might call it God or a higher self. You might think of it as having a staff of angels ready to help you out. The point is, there is help in creating our lives, and we can surrender to that power. We can get our egos out of the way and invite the divine to move through us. People with a gift for healing talk about this, that they feel energy or heat in their hands, or they feel healing power moving through them. People who believe that they channel are letting the divine speak through them. whether they think it's coming from non-physical entities like Abraham Hicks, or their own higher self, or just intuition. When we feel guided, when an unseen hand seems to be at work in our lives, that is the divine moving through us. Now, the unseen hand was also at work in the to-me stage, but then we felt like pawns on a chessboard. The difference in to-me and through-me is allowing and awareness. We become aware that we are co-creating with God, and we allow ourselves to be conduits for divine energy. Through-me is a relief. In by-me, we have to think of everything ourselves, police our thoughts, make lists of what we want, make treasure maps, write vision statements. We worry about spending a moment in negative thinking. Sometimes we try to cancel something that we said. Get it back. In through-me, we can relax a lot of that mental effort. We're still aware of our role as co-creators, but we begin to see ourselves as the filters through which God expresses on earth. And our job is to stay as clear as possible. We're not doing all the work ourselves. This is also where we tap into the 12 powers on these quilts around the room. These are attributes of the divine that are hardwired into every human being. Love, order, zeal, wisdom. We can call forth any divine quality we need and allow it to work through us. Or we can surrender completely. Just stay open to guidance. One of my favorite affirmations is, I will know what to do and when to do it. Spirit will work through me to the degree that I am willing. And at some point, this becomes so natural. We don't have to think, okay, how do I practice principle in this situation? We don't even have to remember to surrender. We have merged into oneness. We have entered as me. The divine is living as Ellen, as you. You live and move and have your being in God. There is no part of you, no word or action that is not expressing the divine. Now, here again, it's a matter of awareness, because we are divine all the time, whether we know it or not. Even when we're living in the worst victim consciousness of to me, we are still spiritual beings having a human experience. We can't not be God in human form. We can not be aware of it. So moving through these stages requires increasing awareness and spiritual maturity and responsibility. I believe even Jesus moved through them and realized more of his own power over time. When he talked about the kingdom of God within, he was talking as me. When he said, it is not I, but the Father within that does the work, that's as me. Jesus came to earth to demonstrate as me. He showed us what divine consciousness looks like. And notice, it wasn't all roses. So if you hear yourself say, well, yeah, I guess I'm God or part of God, or I sure don't feel divine. How does divine feel? Jesus cried and sweated drops of blood the night before his crucifixion. He turned over tables in the temple. He withered a fig tree because he was hungry and it didn't have fruit. He was tempted more than once to abuse his power to get his own way, or to set the world straight, or to keep himself safe. Maybe that is part of how being divine feels. At least when we are God walking around on earth using a human spacesuit and brain and ego. Mysticism means merging with God, as me. And the greatest spiritual teachers have all tried to find words to describe the as me stage. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. Athanasius, an early Christian bishop, said, God became man so that man might become God. In other words, Jesus was showing us what it looks like. Thomas Aquinas said, every creature participates in some way in the likeness of divine essence. Dame Julian of Norwich experienced ecstatic union with God and said, "See, I am God. See, I am all things. See, how could anything be amiss?" Rumi, all that poetry is coming from as me, being one with God, or he called it the beloved. Even grouchy old Apostle Paul knew that he was divine. He said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." So remember, in unity, we separate Jesus the man from the Christ. The Christ is the divine essence in every person. Jesus the man was showing us what's possible for human beings when they are fully aligned with God, when they are expressing the Christ of their being. The book of John has the best examples of as me. When Jesus said things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was speaking as the Christ. He didn't mean Jesus the man is the way. He meant the divine in each of us is the way. And Jesus didn't live only in the as-me stage. I've been researching more about the three faces of God for this radio show that starts tomorrow. 2 p.m. live on Unity Online Radio, or it's recorded. You can listen anytime. So the three faces of God, we've talked about them before. God as all that is, God in relationship to us, and God within us. Jesus invoked all three faces. He spoke about God as the source of all that is. He spoke to God in relationship, in prayer. And he spoke and lived as God. The as-me stage is ultimately the integration of all that we are and all that God is. It's our highest awareness within our human experience. And just when we think we might have reached a moment or two of as me, some driver will cut us off. And we're right back into to me. Sometimes we just feel like victims. Victims of the weather. Victims of our bodies sometimes. But to me is also where we get giddy with gratitude. When we are aware of the blessings of an abundant universe. By me will always be a useful tool. It is good to check in with how we are creating according to what we're holding in thought. Sometimes we can let go of ego enough to let God express through me. Get out of the way of the divine flow. And sometimes on really good days or moments, we know the divine as me. It doesn't mean we are perfect or life is easy. It wasn't for Jesus. But we are effortlessly one with all that is. We intuitively know what to do and when to do it. We have power we had not imagined. Maybe the power to heal, to love, or to see into others. And we take responsibility for its compassionate use. The only difference between us and Jesus is that he lived in as me better than most of us do. More of the time than most of us do. But he assured us, "You are God's." He said anything he did, we could do and more. Paul said, "We behold the glory of the Lord and we are being changed into that image." That's the spiritual transformation we seek. Starting with to me, then working hard to practice principle once we realize life is designed by me, surrendering to let spirit move through me, and integrating the divine and human so that God lives on earth as me. Let's take these thoughts into meditation. We meditate by becoming comfortable. You may want to close your eyes. You may want to breathe deeply. Consciously relax your body. And I usually say, turn your attention within. But there are three faces of God. You might choose to commune with God within, the divine in you. You might choose a relationship or a conversation. You might choose to immerse yourself in the pure presence of the divine. With any of these faces of God, we can express as God in human form. We feel the divine within us, or at least affirm that it's there, even on the days we can't feel it. We see and relate to the divine all around us, in the faces of those we love, in the animals that we love. And we immerse ourselves in God's creation, loving the earth, loving the cosmos, and remembering that we belong in it. And so, whichever face of God you are choosing at this moment, just take a little time to feel God as all that is, God in relationship to you, or God within. We are so grateful for the awareness that we are never alone in this human experience. And with that awareness, we set an intention to allow the divine to express by us, through us, and as us. And so it is. Amen.